Oh, let me change my name.
Welcome to the CN Show, Voice of the World Community. Tonight we have a very special guest that's been on for at least 5 or 6 times. She's one of our team members, but before we get to her, I'm going to share with everybody the shows that we had. The past few shows has been dynamic. I know we have over 200 and something shows, but I think we're getting better, I think. But all of the shows are good. So let me just share some of the shows we had lately. So if you go to the website and you go to the podcast section, and you can catch the shows on audio. I'm up. Here they are. Okay. So on Monday, we had a great show. The relevance of Black history. Professor Rob was in a rare form teaching. And the panel was making a contribution also. Then on Saturday, this past Saturday, we had Rohan Marley. And that brother was teaching. Nice show. Then before that, last Wednesday, we had my granddaughter. It was a nice interview. We got interrupted with the internet, so we're going to have a part three next week. Then last Monday, we had Raising Black Children in a Racist Institutional Dynamic. It was a wonderful show. And then we had Priestess Victoria's last the 2 Sundays ago from Ghana. So we've just been doing it. Been doing it, doing it, doing it. And that's how you can access the audio on the website, Community Education Network. Then you get it on YouTube. Here's all the shows. As you can see, we have a over 200 shows, and
I know, Mama. I know.
it's a real,
Why is that?
real, a large amount of shows for people to come and access and learn. Community Education Network. So let me introduce the panel this evening. My name is Ross Key Mascani, host, and we have Professor Amin-Ra here. I'm gonna introduce my guests in a minute. And I think this is Sister Linda.
Yes, it is.
Sister Linda is here. Welcome, Sister Linda.
Thank you.
We got Professor Ra, got a little power outage, but it's all good. He's still there. So
Yeah,
let me.
the power went out. They gotta cut it back on.
Okay, it's fine. We can still see you. All right.
Abakia?
So now I want to introduce my guest. But the guest here is a team member of ours, and she has the name Sister Making It
You
Happen.
breaking up?
Who is that, me?
Yeah, you break up every. Go ahead.
Okay. So Sister Making It Happen is a team member of ours. She's been on numerous times. And she had very significant shows. And one of the shows, she was talking about the wonders of Nubia. And I mean, it hit like wildflowers. And it was just all the people were coming to see it. She had a lot of views on that show. So I encourage you guys to take a look at our catalog. Because that's what we have. We have 200 and something shows. And check out the previous shows by Sister Making It Happen. So we're going to get started here. So Sister Making It Happen, thanks for coming this evening. Is there anything you want to share about yourself? And then, we can go ahead and get going with the topic, which is the impact of inflation on the Black community.
That's right.
Right.
Well, thank you again, Brother Rasa K. Makani, Maskani, and to the panel, Brother Professor, the Honorable Amin Ra, and to Sister Linda Shorter. I want to thank you all for your time and this platform. You know, wow, 200 and something episodes in the catalog. It's like, wow, I'm just happy to be part of that, you know, to have one or two there. So that when our grandchildren are looking us up and our great grandchildren are looking us up and all they have is, you know, the social media, your six grandchildren and great grands and all this to come, they'll be able to see us and see how we're pouring into them and leaving a legacy of greatness for them to know the truth and to be able to discern the truth from those that are not the truth. So today's topic is something very, I'm really passionate about, and I'm really thankful for the time to share and to really teach and help the community to learn and grow and gain some information to maybe be useful for us and our households and to share with our families and our children, especially. Mm-hmm. So today's topic is the impact of inflation within the Black community. So I have a slide that I wanted to share. Brother, if you can give me access to sharing. And then I'll go ahead and share my screen. Let me stop one more time. Okay.
Everything's on here.
I'm going to share my screen. And there it is. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and start my show. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
All right. So I got a little bit of music because I want us to get in the mindset of what this is about. And hopefully you can hear this. Get a little bit of going, some energy going. This is what this is about, right? We know this song. Yeah. It's been in our community for long time, right? That's right. You, some of us used to be in the club dancing to it. Some of us know the folks, right? But listen what they say. Money, money, money. And inflation. Oh my God. How is that affecting us? What is inflation? Do we have a plan B? How are we dealing with the money? So, stop that, because we can all go all day long with that one. And again, what is inflation? So this is going to be interactive, and I am going to want us to just kind of share with each other our experience, because we have a wealth of knowledge here. We have over 100 years of knowledge in money and inflation. Right. But what is inflation? Right. So definition is inflation affects our purchasing power. That's what inflation does. It affects our purchasing power. Inflation has a tremendous impact on the purchasing power of the dollar. Right. And the further you go out in time, the more inflation forces you to spend more for the same goods and services. And think for a minute about how recently, you know, we're coming out of this tunnel called the pandemic of this time, right? We're coming out of COVID and we're out now. All this money was poured into this to the country to help us for whatever that means. But the cost of basic things have gone up. The eggs, it's all over the news, right? Gas, rent. You know, the homeless crisis is crazy, right? How does inflation impact that, right? Entertainment and fast food. Fast food is no longer cheap, they said. You go to McDonald's, you might spend $60 just for two or three people. I don't know, depending on what you eat, right? So the little bit about money that I wanted to share, I have another video to talk about money, because inflation deals with the power of our dollar. Well, have you noticed that the dollar has changed? Think about it. Take a few minutes and let's listen to what this gentleman says about the history of money.
History of money. Money is best described as a medium of exchange. The concept of money has been around since the dawn of human civilization. Money allows an individual to trade what he has for what he needs or wants. Currently, there are over 150 currencies used worldwide. 70% of the monetary value in the world is denoted in the US dollar, euro, UK pound, Japanese yen, and Chinese yuan. Bartering. Dawn of civilization. Obsidian, a glass-like volcanic rock, was one of the earliest forms of money. 9000 BC, humans began to grow crops and cattle. This gave birth to bartering, where livestock and grain were exchanged for other items which were deemed essential or useful at the time. 2279 BC, the ancient Babylonians defined the first guidelines for money and established a form of measurement called the shekel. Cowrie shells to metal coins. 1300 BC, cowrie seashells were used as money in areas as diverse as Africa, South Asia, Australia, and Oceania. 1100 BC, early Chinese civilizations are credited for the first use of standardized currency in the shape of miniature, bronze casts of replica knives and spades. 687 BC, other civilizations started developing their own unique coins. The first official currency ever was minted out of gold and featured a roaring lion's head. 300 BC, the Roman Empire established its own currency, known as denarius. These coins were mostly minted out of silver and depicted important symbolic images about the Roman Republic. Paper money. 118 BC, the Chinese issued the first ever leather banknote. It was made out of a rare white deerskin and its edges were painted with bright colors. 701-100 AD, paper notes initially appeared in the 7th century, during the Tang dynasty, but their widespread use only became prevalent much later. 1661 AD, the first European banknotes were printed in Sweden by Stockholm's Banco. They were redeemable against their stated amount of silver coins held by the bank. Credit cards. 1946 AD, the first bank card named was introduced in 1946 by John Biggins, a banker in Brooklyn. 1950 AD, the Diners Club released its first card and was used in more than 20 restaurants in New York to pay for bills without the need for cash. 1958 AD, a credit card with revolving credit was issued by Bank of America. American Express was launched and was the first card to be accepted worldwide. 1970 AD, the magnetic strip was perfected and allowed for personal and financial information to be reliably decoded by a machine. Electronic money. 1990 AD, chip technology was introduced. This allowed for large amounts of information to be stored and for verification processes to occur at the points of sales. 1994 AD, the advent of the World Wide Web server and browser gave birth to the online shopping ecosystem. 1997 AD, European banks began to offer mobile banking with primitive versions of smartphones. 1998 AD, PayPal was founded in California and it allowed its members to leverage the medium of the internet to make payments and transfer money. Cryptocurrencies. 2008 AD, an entity known as Satoshi Nakamoto posted a paper titled Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. 2012 AD, another cryptocurrency known as Ripple was created. It aims to enable secure, instant and nearly free global financial transactions of any size with no chargebacks. 2016 AD, Bitcoin and blockchain-related technologies start permeating in the mainstream media. Thank you.
Okay, you guys, let me get back to my presentation. All right. So, again, the evolution of money. As soon as I get out of this, I'll get back to my presentation. There we go. So, again, I wanted you guys to get a sense of how money has evolved so that we can get into this conversation about money and the inflation. So now we're going to have a discussion. And so I'm going to ask you guys some questions, true and false. You've heard a little bit of the video about the evolution of money, talked a little bit about the definition of inflation. You heard the song Money, Money, Money. So just true or false. Is it wise to spend more than you earn? Anybody can unmute and answer the question.
No, it is not wise to do that.
Right. And why? Why would you say it's not wise to spend more than you earn? Again, this is open for us to talk. And I really want us to get into why is it wise to not spend more than you earn?
Because then you find yourself struggling and trying to make ends meet from day to day.
Right. And again, each one of us are going to have a different experience with money, right? Next question. The best way to improve one's credit score is to have one's bank account overdrawn every month.
False.
False. And why would you say that's false?
It's false because when the credit bureaus check you out, you know, if you got money overdrawn, that means that you haven't paid some bills.
Right.
You know, and so if you ain't paying your bills, you know, you're gonna be reported to the credit bureau.
That's right. That's right. So thank you so much. And then our last question for discussion is it a good practice, true or false? Is it a good practice to use debit cards and always throw away the bank statements in the trash? You like that? True or false? Anybody can answer.
Security breach.
Say again.
I said security breach. Identity theft.
So these are all reasons why we do not want to throw away bank statements, number one, right? Number two.
You don't want to throw them away because you need a paper trail.
You need a paper trail, right? And one of the services that I provide is, you know, I do a personal financial checkup with individuals. So what I do is we have to go through your bank statements to see where your money's going. You know, we using that electronic money they talked about. We don't even see cash anymore. You guys don't even touch cash. It goes straight to your account and goes straight to whoever else. You barely touch it. So money has evolved. You know, the way we use money has evolved. And we know that it costs more now. For everything, right? How much is the gas down there in Louisiana? How much is the gas in Texas? You know, things are expensive, right? So I wanted us to have a discussion about managing our money wisely, because one of the services I provide is, again, I teach people how to manage their money wisely. And you'll be surprised how many people, this is their practice. They spend more than they earn. They live off credit cards. And they don't check their statement. So they don't even know how much debt they're in. So that's one of the things that my mission is to help families to learn how to spend money wisely, to understand these concepts. Okay, here's another question. And of course, I have another video that you can look at on your own. This young lady there is talking about something that I am going to scribble just a little clips of what she says. This is my partner, and she's been working with me and helping me to develop my agency. But I believe it's important to have an emergency fund. Is that something you all believe? You have any feelings about that? About an emergency fund? An emergency fund is how much emergency savings.
I keep talking because yes, you're absolutely right. We always need an emergency fund because things always happen. Always.
And it's good to talk. I appreciate you. You know, I wanted this to be interactive so that as our future people look at this, our families, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, that they see the dialogue, the conversations that we're having, because are we having the same questions our parents had about money? Some of the conversation is the same, but some is not, because money has evolved. Some of our parents and grandparents never even experienced some of this digital money. They don't even know. They wouldn't know. Right. So, again, generally, we recommend, and it's recommended, that you have an emergency fund between 3 to 6 months living expenses. And again, that's not if your car breaks down. You know, living expenses is if you are no longer able to work and you cannot pay your bills, you have to have an emergency fund to cover your what you get paid, how much money you bring in. You have to have that set aside in the event that you can't work, right? And we all are having hardships. If we think about the world we're living in right now, you know, I just lost my mother-in-law. You know, we had to come together, all of us, to put together money for the services and everything. Right. If we hadn't prepared, that would be a challenge for us. Right. whole family. So it's like we have to put things in place, because what if none of the children were able to support the mother in her transition? Then we'd have another challenge. So as we get older in our generations and time continues to go and we get this information, we have to bring it home to teach our children, because they're going to be the ones taking care of us later. So we want them to have information and know how to make good decisions around money. Okay. So one of the concepts that we teach again is about utilizing the power of compounding, the investment growth. You know, Albert Einstein had this, this theory of compounding interest, you know, that you should learn about it, because what it says is it determines how quickly your money will double. Right. And so it's based on the interest rate. Right. So your money doubles based on the interest rate with the rule of 72. How quickly it doubles, right? So that's something that we teach people about based on savings and then investments and interest. The higher interest you have in your savings account, more likely is your stuff will double and you can benefit from compounding interest. In our community, we see the negative impact of compound interest with debt, because the same way it works for credit, it works for debt. The same way it works for savings, it works for debt. So if your debt, if you have any debt, it's going to compound. If you're not paying that stuff off, it's going to compound and compound and compound to where you look. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know this bill's that big. Well, something as much as $100 can compound to $3,000. You're like, oh my God, what happened? You know, so we had to understand these rules. I'm going to quickly play this small clip of this video so you can hear an expert talk about the rule of 72.
You now have the information. And I always like to say, if you know better, you do better. Okay? So let me share my screen again. So here, see if it clicks for me. There we go. So now we talk about step four. Okay? So we spent time going over just a few little concepts for us to actually look at and pay attention to more closely in our accumulation of assets. And this, you guys, those three enemies, it's not just for people who are accumulating. You also need to protect and preserve your assets and your legacy. What good does it do for you to work as hard as you work if you are not able to leave it behind the way that you choose or live on it for the rest of your life? So how do you set up your money and your wealth that you're building, right? This is all about building economic empowerment. What are you doing to preserve and protect your legacy? I posted today, I'm doing a 30-day tips that I'm posting on my social media accounts, right? Every day I want to give a tip out. And the tip that I gave today is, if you have life, then you need a living will and trust. You don't have to have a ton of assets. You don't have to have big assets in order to need a living will and trust. If you have life, that means death will come. You need a living will and trust. That's just one piece of the puzzle for preserving your legacy. You have to pay close attention to what your money is doing while you're accumulating it and while you're preserving it. Okay. What does your portfolio truly look like? And is it truly going to help you get to your goals and stay at your goals? And remember, I said I was going to give you a little secret, right? One extra enemy that I tell people to pay very, very close attention to. That enemy is procrastination. It is one of the biggest enemies.
Right there. And I'm going to go on. Okay. So we talked about the rule of 72. Now, what is your plan B? Are you going to be part of wave three? It is time of high inflation, and additional income may be a solution. What income producing activities do you have in place? So that's a question for the panel. Do we have any income producing activities in place to outpace inflation? Do we have a book of business? What do we have that's helping us deal with inflation today? Anybody on the panel? Do we have anything that we're doing to handle inflation? How are we dealing with our bank accounts dwindling? How are we dealing with, you know, the taxes that are happening? What strategies are we using on this platform here to manage the effects of inflation.
Well, can I say a multiple stream of income? That's what I'm trying to create.
Okay. All right. Good.
And I'm glad she said procrastination because yes, I have been procrastinating, but I got to get it in place.
Right. Right. And we had a short, brief conversation about procrastination, but it was more around dealing with our health. But again, our finances affects our health. So again, do you have a book of business? Are you open to collaborating with other professionals to grow your business? If so, send your email to me. Join the mission. You know, one of the companies that I partner with is called Census. And it was just announced that Fidelity and Guarantee now has partnered up with Census. They have 49% equity in Census. That means that we're gonna be able to do a lot more to help the people in our community because we have this Fortune 500 company backing us and making sure that we spread the word in our community about financial wealth and financial health. So I ask you to join my mission. I ask you to think about some of the things that I've said. Let's discuss. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and let's have a discussion about inflation. How's it affecting you in your city, in your home right now? How do you notice your check dwindling? Do you notice that you have more month and more money? Like, how are things going with us here? How are we managing? What are some of the strategies we're doing? I know for me, again, working hard, trying to create sustainable businesses, you know, partnering up with other individuals, getting coaching, networking, mentoring, so that I can get out there and continue to build a sustainable living for myself. And I do work for a district, but that is going to come to an end, you know, so I still have to live after that. How many of us on here retired? Right. You still have to live even after retirement. So what do you do?
Hello?
That's a question for us. What do we do? How are we managing? Those of us that are retired, what are some of the tips you can give us? Because now inflation, did we think about inflation is going to be this high when we retire? What are we doing now? How are we managing?
Well, can I say something?
Yes, please.
You remember when we had the pandemic and they said that you were only allowed to do essential things? Do you remember that? My question is, why aren't we doing essential things only? So I know that by living an essential life, that means you're not out there doing reckless spending. And I can't say that I'm not doing reckless spending, but I do pride myself on being essential. And then the things that I am doing, they're educational. And like you said, networking, I'm preparing businesses, well, business after retirement. So I do have a plan in place and I'm working on it. But I think if we focus on doing things essential, then that's going to allow you to also be practical. And when you're being practical, you're going to do things, you're going to be making sure that you spending your money wisely, and then also accumulating money by doing essential things that may bring you income. Well, that's a little bit I had to say.
Perfect. That's the type of discussion that I wanted to have. You know, I just found out that there were people out there to help. You know, I didn't know, you know, I had to be open. You know, are you open? Would you be open to talking with someone about your situation to helping you? You got to really think, you know, would you be willing to sit down and slow yourself to really look at your situation if you feel like you need to, you know? One of the things you mentioned about essential, you know, do we have a garden? How many of us grow food, right? That's something that, you know, I think is essential, but you know, we think about the grocery stores not having fresh vegetables, or you go in there and nothing's there. You know, what can we grow food at home and pots? You know, is that something that we could do to help sustain us? Will you have any gardens? I know one of us is a gardener on here, I think. I think Brother Joe does some gardening. Anybody else do gardening? So think about it, you know, grow your onions. Met a young lady during this week's of activities. She, her grandma, her mom passed away. She put all her vegetables in pots. She has a garden out her and in her, she lives in Compton, but she has a garden. She has a kale in her, on her pot. She has her spinach. She has all her vegetables, potatoes, green onions. So she doesn't have to go to the grocery store. You know, she has her food right there. You know, that's one way to manage with the inflation. Right. What are other, some of the other things we can do to help deal with this impact of the inflation on us? Stop driving around so much. Ride a bike. I don't know. Get on your bike. Right. Take a train. I don't know if you have to go somewhere. You have many, many options to get around that may not require gas, as much gas. I know my husband rides a motorcycle. That takes a little bit of gas, but again, bicycles, you know, public transportation to help with the gas. Takes much of gas. You want to say something, sir?
I appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. You know, when you're dealing with inflation and you try to manage what you have, you generally very hard when you broke, the majority of Black people suffer from economic inequities, and the majority, the percentage of us that, you know, are working class. I don't say we have middle class, a Black middle class. We have a Black working class that's produced by a white upper class. We had a Black upper class that produced a Black middle class, then we would have it. And then you had the poor. Then you have what they call the permanent poor designated. America is a deficit country. That's why, when you get a car finance, you're at a deficit. When you buy a house, most people are at a deficit. There's no debtor jail. So on don't mean nothing to a lot of people because you don't go, there's no punishment for being poor or not being able to pay. Then they give you options. If you got the ability to pay but don't want to pay, it's called bankruptcy. And there are different levels of bankruptcy that you can manipulate for those that are working and those that have assets that they want to protect. Chapter 11, chapter 7, chapter this, chapter that. And you can file bankruptcy a number of times, different ways, come out of bankruptcy, all kind of stuff. When we're dealing with financial literacy or getting consultation to how to handle your assets, that means you have some assets. You know, you have some money that you don't want to liquidate. You want to take advantage of and put it to work for you. The word capitalism means that you make money off money, not off labor, not off of trading stuff. But can you handle money? There's no such thing as credit. What you're doing is somebody's buying whatever they give you. When somebody refinance or finance you, you paying them extra. You're buying money. That's what credit is. Now, there's a difference between what they call you buy like a house or a car. That's tangible. I forget what they call it, you know. Then, but can you really handle money? Can you handle cash? That's a whole different thing. They know you're going to pay your house note because you can get put out. They know you're going to pay for your car because they can repossess it. You understand? And those are called secured loans. Okay. Unsecured They're secured by your pink slip or your deed of your house, things of this nature. So well, my point is that inflation, to me, is different from economic literacy and things of this nature, because what you're saying is that even though prices are high, if you got some assets, you need somebody, and if you want somebody to help you how to use those assets while inflation is happening. Whereas other people are just saying, hey, look, I got to cut back. I got to cut back because I don't have the options. People who are working and people who have liquidable things to get money, like go get a mortgage, go get AAA credit, and they can go get some cash. And things of this nature. Got jewelry, gold, they can pawn and sell and things. When you down to bare minimum, and like homeless people or people living on low income, on welfare, and people living off a minimum wage, called the working poor, inflation has a different effect on them, not on the working class. One of the biggest deficits is student loans for those who went to college. But then at the same time, they want to demonstrate that they are successful. So they sometimes go get a condo, go get a nice car, and it's all above their salary. I mean, it's all, I mean, when you rent a house or rent a house, you rent the neighborhood. That's why the same apartment in Hollywood that's going for $3,000 a month may not go for that high in Compton. You understand? Because of the neighborhood. It's a complicated issue, and I understand needing advice. If you got liquidable funds, when you don't have no liquidable funds, you deal with inflation different. You start stealing more. You start cutting back. You start trying to get supplemental income. You may start selling some weeds or selling your medicine. You do desperational things to stretch things. You know, you start, like you said, hey, cut out the restaurants, the fast food. Most poor people go to fast food, cheap fast food places. Like the Taco Bells, you know, and the McDonald's, you know, that's the cheap, but, you know, they're not going to Yakimoto's or Yamashira's or Moon Shadows out in Malibu or somewhere where, you know, a plate that costs you $200. You know, they're going to get, you know, a bunch of, you know, those cheap hamburgers, you know, and things of this nature. So that's a whole different game out there. So I think that this issue is how do working class, those with liquidable income, deal with inflation. But if we're dealing with Black people in inflation, the majority of them are already at survival mode. I'm done with survival. Survival is different from development. You know, inherited in development is you survive, and you can't develop if you survive. When you're surviving, the next step, that you know, you know, is like, hey, total chaos, because there's nothing up under there. You know, when you tap, so it creates a psychological stress. So that's why they have social service programs to help those that don't have the income, don't own property, don't have assets, and they rely on food stamps or EBDT cards and things of this nature. Now, there are good people that just had hard times or something came up, either they had health issues or something like that. They got they rely on Social Security or they rely on their pension. And but they, because it's so low, they get supplemental help in all aspects. In this country, they got a welfare system and a social system. In other countries, it's welfare. It's farewell. You know, hey, I'll see you later. You got to go out and hustle from the womb to the tomb. But inflation here is like, we go in the store now, you spend $100, you come out with three bags. When our parents used to go with $50, they come back with seven bags. You know what I'm saying? So inflation is about corporations inflating the cost of things and trying to justify it. That's called greed. You know? And that's what drives the system. Envy and greed. And if you can get over not being envious, and not being greedy, and not thinking, I deserve this. I deserve a brand new car. I deserve it. I don't go out and get the most economical car. I go out and get what I want and make people look and say, oh, you're doing all right. You know? So it's a challenge thing when you get into economics. I thought economics was a black community. You'd be surprised what Double O Soul be doing to make the ends meet, you know. He be coming up with some creative things. And, you know, I mean, it's just from three-card Molly to find the pee, the shooting dice, domino gambling and dominoes. I mean, you'd be surprised. Card games, I mean, you'd be surprised at what sisters have to do with their bodies, with their work. You know, when you got kids and you ain't got nobody but you, your husband, ain't no man there, and you got different kids with different daddies. That's a whole new different game out there for these sisters. Most women in the world, not in this country, but most women in the world have to prostitute themselves to feed their families. I mean, that's just it. When you go in those countries that are devastated with famine and stuff like that, that's the only thing they got is their body. And it's hard, but I can understand needing financial literacy and advice when you have the resources. But the majority of us, even working class, sometimes we're above our head with regards to just trying to be comfortable, having the things that we want versus the things that we need. This country owes itself trillions of dollars. How do you owe yourself trillions of dollars? And why would you pay yourself back? I mean, that only makes sense. You understand? That's why they called it, you're charging the future. They're projecting how much money they're going to get in the future from future generations. And they saying that we're going to raise the debt ceiling and we're borrowing against our potential economic wealth in the future. You understand? That's what they say. Oh, our kids are going to have to pay for this, the deficit. Well, your kids ain't gonna pay it. They'll file bankruptcy. Or they move out the country. You know, I mean, it don't even make sense. You know, that's the game about the medium of exchange that you're playing when it comes to economics. The science of the medium of exchange. And, you know, it's a good thing to learn that. And a good thing to prepare. If you can save, yes. But it takes a lot of discipline to save.
Professor Rob,
yeah.
Have you ever heard this terminology? Bobby Line makes the rules.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We are living in a system, and you just said it. The system takes. They get all this money and borrow from themselves. This is a heck of a psychology going on right here.
No, but, when you go print up money. You print it. You can print up money anytime you want, and you got a military to make people accept it. If people didn't accept your money, you know, it's no good. But it's enforced by the military.
And the poor people pay the most. Because like you said, think about what has to be done. If you don't have assets or things, think about what has to be done. And if you're not part of a community where if you're hungry, someone will feed you, you know, even, you know, growing food, maybe that's difficult, you know, maybe that's a higher level thinking as well. But, you know, are you part of a church? Does your church give out food? You know, there's a lot that's being done, but there's a lot more that we have to do because it's going to get heavier and the inflation is going to impact us. It's going to impact how our money grows, our debt. It's going to impact most aspects of our life. And so we have to think about our plan and as a community collectively. If you're by yourself, it's going to be really, really hard. You know, if you're not part of a community where you can, you know, share things, it's going to get really, really difficult. And yeah, those who are, you know, very, very poor, the working class, very, very poor, you know, they're going to have a lot of choices they have to make.
When we was coming up, I remember, you know, when ice cream with a nickel and you can get a soda for 35 cents, you can get some liverwurst and crackers and orange juice, you know, but everything goes up. We remember when gas was what, 75 cents, 35 cents a gallon, but 27 cents a gallon. You can go back and you can find signs. All you have to do is go back, find all advertisements and the prices in stores. A sack of potatoes, 10 cents. A sack of this, a sack of that. You know, our parents used to buy a sack of potatoes, sack of flour to make biscuits, and sack of beans and rice. And that's what we ate on. You know, that was just it. But right now, the price, all prices go up. They all get inflated as technology come in and as various aspects of the cost of distribution and manufacturing. Sometimes packaging costs more than the stuff that's in the package. You know, it's a hustle out here. You don't know what's in the meat at McDonald's. You don't know what's in the meat at Taco Bell. They'd be cutting the meat like dope dealers cut dope. You understand? Stretching it so that they can get more money out of it. You understand? And I mean, it's a whole new different game out there. You know, I mean, this country got people in the illusion that it's the greatest country in the world. They didn't say it was the goodest country. They said it was the greatest. There's a difference between being great and good. You know, it's bad for poor people. You know?
Well, that's what I wanted us to just have conversations on. What can we do? Yes, if you need help and you have assets, yeah, you need to plan because they're going to quickly dwindle away, especially if your stuff is in the wrong place. And it's just going to just liquidate. You're going to look at your account, it's going to be just going down, 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 down. But if you don't have an account, okay, you still got to buy things. You still need things. And so are you connected? Are you in a community? Are you part of a community that can support you? Do you have a church home? You know, do you have godparents? Like, where are you in these things? Are you out there selling your body? Is that what you're doing? If have we resorted to that? You know, then what are our options and where are we going if that's the impact to the Black community? Then what does that look like for 2030 when it projected that the Black community is going to be bankrupt by 2030? Is that real?
They're bankrupt. The majority of Black people do not own homes. The majority of Black people do not make less than most people in the world. I mean, in this country, the challenge is immense when it comes to economic exchange. Now, what I see is that, you know, a change of lifestyle and a change, but then again, it's hard to do that when there's so much expectation of wanting to live like white folks live. You understand? You know, I mean, you know, you drive in their neighborhood. Oh, how come our neighborhood don't look like that? You go by their schools. How come our schools don't look like that? You understand? Because they got the resources, both public and private resources. It's just like right next to Compton is Paramount. Paramount's a working class community. That's why they have so many shopping centers. Whereas, go ahead, Rashi. I'll let somebody else talk. I got.
All right. I guess I can chime in here. Appreciating you, sister, and condolences on your loss. I saw your brother-in-law that day. I just was coming from a service myself when I ran into him. And matter of fact, I've experienced 10 deaths in the last 3 weeks. So I still got a lot more to go. But anyway, from listening earlier, I had to step away a couple of times. But, you know, I was raised in the projects, and I learned the value of a dollar at an early age. This old hustler taught me this saying when I was a teenager. And the saying goes like this: it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And that kind of stuck with me, especially when it comes to finances and whatnot. But chiming in on some things that our community folks need to deal with and grasp is, for example, cars were mentioned. And myself, I don't own them all, but I have like four properties. I've never owned a new car in my life. A car is the worst investment in America. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it's worth from $500 to $1,000 less. I don't care what it is, Mercedes, Porsche, you name it. I drive a 1999 and a 2000. They run good. They don't look as great. But I ain't ego tripping on how someone perceives me. And plus, if you got something out there that's shiny, you're liable to get jacked. So that's another reason. Also, remember when I was a youngster, I went to visit Whittier College. And I met the son of Levi Strauss. And he was the raggliest, straggliest looking white boy you ever seen in your life. But he's a multimillionaire. You know what I'm saying? So I've never been on the ego trip of how I look, how someone perceives me, or what I got. Clothing wise, having to be flashy and all of that. You know, we used to have, when I was going to kids' school, when kids didn't have the fancy stuff, they called it mother's clothes. Your mother bought that, or mother's shoes. You know, everybody wearing Stacy Adams and Biscuits and all that. And I had the regular old Sears and Roebuck stuff. Something else that our people trip on is eating out. And some of us can be on stamps and whatnot, and we'll still eat out. Like our kids, you know, are bombarded with McDonald's and all of those stuff. You can take the money you spend in that McDonald's on one trip and eat off of it for a whole week. But we get caught up in our kids from the TV commercializing and whatnot and get into all of that. So, you know, there's ways that we can deal with inflation. Like myself, you mentioned I have a garden. I ain't got a whole lot in there right now, but I'm looking to plant for the spring because the winter vegetables ain't a whole lot you can plant in the wintertime. So I'm getting ready for spring to come around. And plus, the food that you eat out with is messing your health up. Full of sodium and all kind of other additives and whatnot to preserve the food until they cook it. And that's why people come up with, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, and all these other things, you know, that folks get from one fast food, you know, innovation, technology, microwave. I don't even use the microwave no more. I turn on the gas stove and heat it up on in a pan, or put it in the oven and heat it up that way. I refuse to put microwave stuff in me any longer. Took about 8 years before I even used them when they first came out. And ours broke a few years, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we left it broke and haven't looked to replace it. But as far as inflation, things, I remember when I started driving, gas was 29 cents a gallon. You know what I mean? And the investments I made on properties. The first house I bought, I paid $66,000 for it. And now it's worth 600 and some thousand. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I got in that game from Old Top Logan, a mentor of mine. I had a centennial that schooled me on the property game. And I've acquired a few more since then. And my goal is to keep my health so I can collect this retirement that I'm getting, because every year I get a 2% increase, cost of living increase on retirement. So my goal is to collect this money for the 39 years that I worked, and I'll be 94 years old at that time, and hopefully can have these properties paid off, because I found out if I sell them, I ain't going to get that much money as I thought I would get when I first got into the game, because of all of the taxes that they, capital gains, the state and federal, depreciation, all these other things. I was thinking I could sell one and cash in and then be cool. But what I got to do is just try to pay them off and increase my rents, because I've been giving my tenants too much love on this rent. And that got to change, because I can't play that game no more what I thought I could play. And I'm about $500 to $700 under the market value on each one that I could be getting. So I've notified them in the next 3 years I'm gonna slowly go up on them, and I've given them fair notice. And they can leave if they want to. If they leave, I can jump in what the market value is right now. But I don't want to break nobody. I give them fair warning. And, you know, if they practice, matter of fact, all my tenants drive better cars than I do. Ain't that something? They, you know, they out there getting new cars every 2, 3. I've never owned one in my life. So, and let me say this. You talked about, you know, your mother-in-law passing. This is something I learned from my stepfather. You can never have too much insurance. And all of you that are still working.
Say that again.
You can never have too much insurance. And all of you that are working, I would get some type of disability policy. I used to have 3 of them when I was working. So in case something happened, I could still get paid. So, you know, you gotta think about his game, try to beat him at his game. But as soon as we get to the finish line, he changes the game. And he does that all the time. And so I'm still trying to figure out some things right now, because as much as I thought I had, I don't have, and trying to refine. And they even give us problems on refine just to draw a little cash out. They make that difficult. So, and I'm just going to try to, and this is something else I learned from myself. I always had to wash his car every day, and he kept a big coffee can of change in his trunk, and he wouldn't pay me, so I would pay myself, right? But anyway, from that little lesson, I save all my change, and I have like 6, 7 coffee cans full of silver, and I got a water bottle, a 5-gallon sparkling bottle full of pennies. You know, and I've been thinking about going over to this. I finally found these little change things in the store, and I'm going to take one of them over there and just, you know, put it in there and see how much I have per can. But anyway, that's my contribution to the situation tonight. Like I don't want to end it. I'm going to say it again. It's better to have it not needed than to need it not have it. Thank you.
Well, I'm thankful for the contribution and the feedback and just the back and forth. Serve my purpose. What I wanted to do was just have us think about our situations. Of course, we're here, you know, inflation is impacting us different than our brothers and sisters who live in the neighborhood and, you know, they don't have what we have, or they are, you know, not working and, you know, it looks different, definitely, but they impact us, we impact them. So one way or the other, we either going to be helping them or they're going to be trying to take from us. So we're going to have to figure this out, you know, how, as long as we're in the situation we're in, we're here and we're, you know, close, we got to help each other. But again, inflation is not going away. We're all different ages and we all know, I never even saw gas prices at 27. I probably wasn't even driving then. I think gas has always been at least $3 or $4 for me. I don't think I've ever seen a 27 cent gas driving in my time. But again, inflation, you know, movies used to be cheap, you know, they're not. Everything has gone up and it's going to continue to go up. We just got to figure out how we're going to support each other, how we're going to keep our families going, looking at the different strategies out there. If you can save, make sure that you have a savings account that is above inflation. You know, if you got a 2% cost of living, that's great. But if inflation is 4%, you're still behind. You're still chasing this thing. So it's just about knowing and figuring out a way to manage it and so that we can stay ahead of the game as much as we can. So that was what I wanted to do by tonight's conversation, is to make sure that we had dialogue so that those that are watching can hear our discussion, can hear some of our strategies and try to implement some if they can. And yes, if I'm around and I can provide a service, I'd love to provide services for whoever is ready to make a change in their life, because it is going to require a lifestyle change.
You know, see, people can grow food if you got property. In back east, specifically, in some projects out here, you don't have no land. You can't grow food because, you know, in back east, the projects are straight up and straight down. They high rises. And then the same thing with some of the projects like in Imperial Court, Jordan Donna. You can grow stuff in the house and in a little bit in certain yards in the projects, but it's very difficult. The other thing is that, you know, most people live and be merry, because tomorrow you may die. They're not thinking about the future. They're not planning the future. They're saying, hey, look, I'm going, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to spend as I get it and just enjoy. I'm going on cruises. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do whatever I want to do with my money. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to get my hair done. I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get pedicures. I'm going to pet myself because I deserve it. You understand? I love me. And I'm going to treat me. And you'd be surprised at the different mentalities out there. Now, if I know some people, they just go buy a big SUV and travel all over the world and live in the SUV. They don't own no house. They just, you know, they got a little car they pull on their SUV to go out, and that's what they do. They just go in there. There's other people that, I mean, you'd be surprised at the different lifestyles out there. People live in trailer parks. There are people living in different ways trying to deal with their economic reality, whereas they got, at least they have an economic reality. When you are relying on the government to send you a check and it don't come, or them food stamps don't come, panic comes in. You understand, especially if you got kids. Now, a lot of people had to eat sugar sandwiches and, make Kool-Aid instead of buying soda pops and things of this nature. You know, I mean, it's different coming up, you know, you know, like our kids are, you know, like, you know, our parents used to make us eat because we may not get enough food the next day or something. So fill your belly. But right now, you know, you got people saying, you know, eat, eat, eat. Now you got an obesity problem. You got a diabetic problem. You got a kidney failure problem because we didn't get into nutrition. And that's a lifestyle change right there. Eating properly, eating you cook food. They don't even deal with the statistics of how many people get food poisoning from these restaurants. How many people get sick from the food that they eat at the restaurant? How much food they throw away because it was they prepared it wrong after they left the fast food place or the drive-by. Or, you know, they put onions in. I told them I didn't want onions, and you throw the whole sandwich away. You know what I mean? There'd be some things going on that we got to, you know, I'm for the cultural consciousness like Brother Hembrick have, you know, you know, saving all the money that we spent, that the kids spent on Batman, Magic Mountain, Disneyland, and have them have a vision. Oh, I'm going to save this money so I can buy some property. You know, so I can buy a car, not to drive, but to fix up and sell. And then buy another one to fix it up and sell it. That, you know, that form of economic literacy is altogether different. You see what I'm saying? You got people out there dealing with recycles, recycling up at 2 and 3 in the morning, the day before the trash man run, going in trash cans, and whew, it's rough out there, you know, it's rough out there. That's the only thing I'm saying. Now, people like, you know, some of us that work and some of us that have a pension, some of us have Social Security on top of the pension. You know, we know, you know, we rely on government and rely on those companies. And we look forward for that money to be in the bank. But when it don't come, panic comes in. Because most of us, many of us, are just a few checks away from homelessness or bankruptcy ourselves if that money don't come in. You see what I'm saying? And if you're trying to put a kid through college and you're trying to put, you know, get your kids, you know, decent clothing and things of this nature, because most of the people, parents, you know, they're the ones that go out and say, hey, no, I'm not going to these little cheap places and buy clothes. I'm not going to these little cheap houses. I'm going to a place and get you quality clothes. You know, I mean, these are parents doing this. This ain't kids. You understand? I mean, they go and they buy their babies the top of the line and say, and they get them in the habits of wanting. And that's one of the worst diseases out is the want, because the only cure is to have. You know,
yeah. Professor Rowe.
Yes.
Now you know you just were saying about the people that go around collecting recyclables before you know the day before trash the trash man comes or the, you know the trash people. It's a guy that was on my street collecting bottles and cans. And, you know, I share mine since I used to go to a recycling place and I collected so many and I got frustrated because I got a little bit from it. So I said, I might as well just, you know, give it to the, you know, either.
That's what most of us do.
So now he started off walking down the street with his basket. Now he has a truck. So he had some determination to start off that way, but he didn't end up that way. You know what I mean? And I haven't seen him in a while, so I'm pretty sure that he's using his truck as a hustle to probably even haul things. And so it's that type of determination that a lot of people need to acquire, that hustle and be able to sacrifice and build and build and build. And I think that was a good story for me to see that man hustle like that. You can't hear me?
I hear you now.
So I think that was a beautiful thing for me to see somebody with that determination go from a basket to a hauling truck. And he's building. That's a good determination story for me. And I think people can learn from hard work and determination, and also being able, when you have that, you can build and accumulate, you know, not, I ain't gonna say a lot of wealth, but, you know, things to help you survive and be in a better condition. Now, I wanted to share, just to making it happen, information that's on the recommendations page on our website. So when you go to the website and you see there's more, and you hit that recommendations and you scroll down, and all the way to the bottom here, you have Sister Making It Happen. This is her contact information. You can get it on the website. It's kind of small on here, but her information is on the website. And people that do want to get some financial counseling and learning how to use their finances better, she is available on the website to get her information.
Okay.
All right. Back to you, Sister Making It Happen.
I appreciate the platform and the time and the conversation. I hope that you all was able to get something useful for yourselves and for your family, children and grandchildren. I just think that it's really important to have these conversations with young people so that they can understand how to make good choices for themselves when they do get money. You know, again, I think about the kids that, you know, their parents, they grew up on welfare, and you finally get them into college with some financial aid, and they would take their whole Cal Grant and they would just blow it. You know, it's like you got to teach people how, once they get something, how to then manage it, because you do feel so deprived, like you don't have things and you haven't had things and you have all these desires and these wants, that then you just go out and you blow what, not thinking about there is a tomorrow. You know, you have to think about there is a tomorrow. And you may not be here, but somebody else, your child may be here, your parent may be here. So it is a shift. And I am fortunate that I grew up with a certain mindset, but it is a shift. And as I work with people where they are, it's about helping them to see the benefit. You know, are they open and looking to make a change, a lifestyle change, to grow and to be different and create something different for themselves? So thank you for the time and the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that you're bringing this financial information to us. And we have to be practical and start learning things that's going to sustain us. So it's very important. Professor Rod, thank you for that information, because that's grassroots, what you was talking about. You know, that was something. It takes me back to Black Studies class. Boy, we used to have a great time learning the information. So, yes, people. So is that it for the evening, Sister Making It Happen?
That's it for the evening. Of course, my talks for the rest of the year will be around various concepts of tax timing, you know, risk, different concepts that I want to make sure that I'm sharing with this platform, so that as we're looking and building and having our catalog, that piece can also be there, because my mission is to make sure that I get to at least 1,000 families and help them put policies in place and put more value in their lives, and do it while we're young and healthy and everything is cheaper, because as we get older, we have more issues with our health, and then things cost more. And so therefore it becomes more challenging to make that a priority. But it's definitely something, as Brother Hembrick said, better to have when you need it than to not have it and then you need it. So I want to end on that note and peace.
Excellent, excellent presentation. Okay, so now I want to share what we're going to have for next week, everybody. Next week on Wednesday, we're going to do part three of my granddaughter, Samantha, because the internet interrupted our show, kind of broke it up. But we had two pieces of the show. We're going to do a third piece on Wednesday of next week. And Professor Rock, anything for next week?
I'm trying to get Carl Douglas, who used to work with Johnny Cox, the attorney, or this brother named McKeely, who was one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter in Los Angeles. They haven't called me back. I put two calls in, so I'm going to try to get that done by tomorrow.
Okay, well, that'll be good. We want to hear from those brothers. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we, you know, as Rohan Marley said, we're going to take a pause. I'll take a pause.
Excellent presentation.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
It was excellent. Yes, it was. It was excellent.
Thank you. And Linda, yes, sweetie, I will be on you, getting to you and taking care of you.
Can I just ask just two quick things, because I loved it and I've got all this information. You did the financial counseling. Was that the census that you were talking about? That's the name of your company?
That's the I am an independent contractor, so they allow me to be able to contract with Fortune 500 companies like F&G, AIG, all these different financial insurance companies. I'm able to contract with them through this company. So, you know, once I got my license, I've been licensed and contracted now for about 5 or 6 years. This is my retirement plan, because I'm a counselor and I help people all the time plan for college. So I figured, why not expand my planning with people and help them plan for 40 years of their life versus just 4 years of their lives, put something in place that really helped them and connect them with the lifelong learners like Dr. Virginia Hathaway. She's been my mentor forever. And I'm doing what I'm doing because of her. You know, she's, you know, her niece, they're from Black Wall Street. This is a family. She was a child from Black Wall Street. So this is rebuilding, rebuilding after rebuilding. So it's a matter of making sure that people are connected and supported. And even those that are not connected, again, we still impact each other. Every child that I touch in Compton is my child forever. And as long as they have access to me, I will do whatever I can to help them if they're ready to change their lives, you know. But it requires change, you know.
You're absolutely right. And only one other thing, one quick thing. We were talking about growing foods, which is, I love every detail of everything. And of course, I have to throw in torpedo pots. There is a Black inventor. Torpedo pots is in growing your own food. And I know, first of all, you said about, you know, in the land, you don't have it. But look up torpedo pots. He just got the patent in 2021.
Oh, nice.
It's a self-watering pot.
Torpedo pots. Okay, good. Thank you. That's awesome. Great contribution.
Okay, so we're going to take this pause. So each one teach one. And Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
I'll take care.